Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt the opera broadcast once again for another late report from one of our correspondents on the field covering the tornado disaster. This time, we're going to Bald Knob, Arkansas for a report from our mobile unit number 2. Our reporter there is Virginia Waters. At this time, come in, Bald Knob, Arkansas.
This is Virginia Waters speaking to you from the City Hall, which has been converted into Red Cross headquarters in Bald Knob, Arkansas. The known dead here are 18, the injured 150. The bright sunshine of the afternoon is coming down on a main street that is littered with trailing wires, broken flake glass, sheet iron crumpled like paper, and the traffic light sits on the edge of the highway. The roads are all choked with cars. We saw a new Buick car pulled up at the curb, which was squashed half flat and filled with bricks. There's a two-story building on the main street with the top half gone. There's a supermarket caved in, and the stickers on the front saying, open. There are people standing in little groups on the streets with their hands in their pockets, talking quietly. In the City Hall, the Red Cross has set up headquarters, and the woman in charge told me here that she is the county representative, and she is from Faulkner County and got here very soon. The hero of the day is the ham radio operator who called the Red Cross first. He got the hold of the disaster chairman, and he said the disaster chairman got hold of the other representatives who were on hand quickly. The woman told me that they wouldn't have been able to get along without him. It's a wonderful thing, and that is that the rooms here, there are two or three of them, full of cartons of supplies already for families who have lost all they had. Most of them, so far, have been sent over from the little town which is almost next door, Augusta. There are jars of homemade canned food, boxes of clothes, which the Red Cross lady in charge pointed out to me already had been marked children's clothes, ladies' clothes, shoes, and so on, so that they wouldn't even have the trouble of sorting them out to give them to people who needed them. There are a few soldiers here at the headquarters who are feeding stew out from with large ladles and big pans to the people here. A few of them are sitting along the side of a little stone room here. They're covered with dust and they're just sitting very quietly and eating the stew that's been ladled out to them. There is one little child who has never yet been identified. She is alive and she's been sent to Newburgh. However, that they know that she is a Bald Knob child. She's a little girl, blonde, 2 or 3 years old, and they so far have not been able to identify her. Standing very close to me here is a woman who just came in for help. Her sister is 14 years old, and her name is Bobby Ann Ferris. She's missing. The mother and father have been killed, and the little brother, fortunately, was out of the house. He wasn't hurt, but Bobby Ann has not been located so far, and the sister was standing beside me, holding back tears and saying over and over again, they can't seem to find her, they can't seem to find her. So we saw signs, incidentally, of what the capricious force of the storm did in McCrory on our way here. We saw in a field beside the highway one very graphic picture of the storm's work in a little house that was completely flattened as though by a hammer. Its boards were all on top of one another, and in the midst of the rubble stood a tractor, and that was all that was there. There was a great feeling of calmness and readiness to take whatever comes among the people here, and we'll give you more of that, I hope, as we go ahead and try to get a story from Searcy. The known dead in this city are W.W. Arnold and his wife, Bill Bronson, about 30, Howard Fair, Peggy Fain, Howard and Peggy Fain, 15 and 13, D. Ferris, D. N. Lowe, and his wife, Mrs. J. M. Long, Marvin Latta, Broad Thomas, Fred Wilson, and four unidentified people, Kathleen Ferris, and Mary Lee Fain. That is the story at the moment from Bald Knob, Arkansas, and we'll go on down the road, which is choked by cars with people coming in to help, and give you a story from Searcy.
Thank you, Virginia Waters, at Mobile Unit Number 2 in Bald Knob, Arkansas.
We are talking to you now from the Red Cross headquarters in the American Legion building at Searcy, Arkansas. This is White County, where some 275 injured have passed through the hospital here. We have just driven through Judsonia, where the twister seems to have hit the hardest. There seems to have been no building left untouched here. It's, as the Red Cross man here says, wiped out. The road to Judsonia is closed from the main highway. There are troops directing on the main highway the bumper-to-bumper traffic that goes by the town. Inside Judsonia, people are walking around in the streets in crowds. It's a town of wreckage and a town of pedestrians. You stand in the middle of the main street and look in any direction, and as far as you can see, there's not a building left whole. Some blocks are just as they are in war, flattened sheets. We saw one lot full of rubble which had been in an apartment building, we guess, and out from the mound of bricks stuck a clothes pole with a hanger of dresses. We saw one stretch of highway where every telephone pole, as far as the eye could see, was flattened. We saw one house, this was in Bald Knob, which had one immense tree fall across the front porch in one direction and another across the back steps in another direction, bracketing it in. We saw a gully where among the tangled thickets and the broken trees stood a stove that had been blown there. We saw a house where the only thing left standing was a bed with a quilt in it. Another where the only thing left was a stove and a piece of wall leaning against that. Still another where a kitchen cabinet stood in the middle of the debris. It seemed as though the funnel had cut a track of devastation straight down North Elm Street in Bald Knob, had completely engulfed just Judsonia, and had hardly touched Searcy, where however many of the casualties were brought. It began about 5:30 p.m. yesterday, and after seeing what we have seen, you know what an hour of terror it must have been. Now, with us now is Mr. Dick Watson, who is chapter disaster chairman for the Red Cross of White County, and Mr. Watson has something to tell you about how the Red Cross has gone to work in the disaster here. Mr. Watson?
The response from our local volunteer workers was instant. Facilities of all state agencies were offered. Other Red Cross chapters came in person with canteen groups set up, ready to go into action on the spot of the worst hit area. Three amateur radio stations were offered since the all power lines, telephone lines were out. Blood donors lined up at the local hospitals, and clothing, food, mobile power units, bulldozers, heavy equipment to clear wreckage came in from all over the state. The Arkansas National Guard patrolled all affected areas, directed traffic, furnished ambulance service.
As I recall, Mr. Watson, you said that all this apparently had been organized without any help from officials while you were driving in from Jonesboro. Is that correct?
Yes, that was all in full sway by the time I got back to the local headquarters office.
After hearing the alarm, is that right?
Well, from an immediate survey, on-the-spot survey, a quick one.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, they have an enormous supply of food and clothes here at Searcy, as I recall.
We have more than I think we can use. The response has been wonderful.
And the Red Cross is on duty here, taking calls from distracted relatives from all over the country who were asking any information about where their families have been sent. I believe that's correct.
That's true. They have that pretty well underhand, and that was one of the first things that they started working on last night.
And while we were here, a man drove up and said very casually, "I've got a carload of cars here. I just want to know that I brought them here, and I just want to know where to put them."
They've come in that way all day and all night, uh-huh. And are still coming, offering services of every description from everywhere.
And I believe you have with you, Mr. Watson, Mr. Ralph Gentile from St. Louis.
He's the
disaster field representative for the Midwest area, I believe. Would you ask Mr. Gentile whether he has any comments as to what a contribution to the Red Cross this month will mean and what an example this is of what Red Cross service can do for people?
Well, while this is a highly traumatic situation,
Heart Assassin program is a year-round program, and our assassin program generally includes many, many assassins throughout the year.
But this is typical, maybe, of what can happen to people in a hurry and where the Red Cross can step in. Isn't that right, Mr. Gentile?
Invariably, disasters always happen where they're never supposed to happen.
That's right. Uh-huh. And, of course, that's exactly where the Red Cross comes. Didn't Mr. Watson say that the Red Cross had been able to organize even without professional help in so fast that by the time he was on the way here till when he arrived,
that's right,
that they had completely gotten things in hand
that's
and
right.
were able to start work?
See, the Red Cross is essentially a volunteer organization through our local chapters of volunteers. When I arrived here, we were functioning full blast, and right now I think we have an emergency situation at hand. Our emergency primary concern is to see that all people have food, clothing, and housing at the moment.
And I believe, as I recall from Mr. Watson, that the Red Cross is here in Searcy is fairly well supplied with blood, with clothing, and with food. Is that
in very adequate amounts.
Yes. Fine. Thank you very much, Mr. Gentile and Mr. Watson. This is the WMPS Special Events Reporter returning you once more to headquarters in Memphis, Tennessee.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt the opera at this point to bring you a special on-the-spot report from our WMPS Unit Number 1 in Henderson, Tennessee. We're going to hear an eyewitness report as given by WMPS News Editor Tice Terway, to be followed by a special weather forecast from the Memphis Weather Bureau. We take you now to Tice Terway in Henderson, Tennessee.
Hello, WMPS. This is Tice Terway. I'm speaking at this time from the main control room of the Bell Telephone Company in Jackson, Tennessee. Just a few minutes ago, as time would go, I left Henderson, Tennessee. And such havoc and such wreck as we've seen caused by nature is almost indescribable. When Mobile Unit Number 1 left Memphis early this morning, around 2 o'clock, we expected to find as much as you would might ordinarily see after a heavy rainstorm or after heavy windstorms. Today, and in the early morning hours, and as the day passed on, we've seen people impaled on trees, children who were tossed 150, 200 yards away from their homes. As I talked to one victim in Henderson, he described it to me this way. He said, "Yes, we heard the wind coming, and we knew that something was happening. And so I told my wife to fall down on the floor. I covered our three children with my arms as best I could. The next I knew, we were out in the yard. The home was gone." Well, that was only just a frame home. But that's only one incident. Other homes, brick homes, have been leveled by this devastating tornado that has struck the western portion of West Tennessee. We covered such spots as Moscow, Bolivar, Henderson, the three main places that were hit in the western portion of the state of Tennessee. And as we've seen it and witnessed it, fowls, chickens running around with feathers completely stripped, trees with the bark stripped off, homes completely leveled, dishwashers, electric dishwashers, ice boxes, washing machines, ranges, refrigerators, tossed 300 and 400 and 500 yards away from homes where you couldn't even see a home anymore. They were level with the ground. But hundreds of yards away, you could see the debris, clothing, apparel of the people who had lived in that house and now live no longer. The devastation that has been caused by this tornado that hit the western portion of Tennessee late Friday night and early Saturday morning is almost indescribable. We checked with various people of the Red Cross, with the State Highway Patrol, and with volunteer workers, and also the National Guard, doctors. And we found that there have been many more people injured than could possibly have been reported to you up to this time. The only thing that we can say is that it's almost too hard to believe. As a reporter, you'd say, well, that's quite a big statement. But it's not. You must see it for yourself. where you wind through hills and vales on a state highway and suddenly see nothing before you. And then 500 yards away, there may be a quiet little white church, untouched, unscathed. Another 500 yards away, more havoc that's been wrecked by these tornadoes. Then again, another 500 yards farther on, two little puppy dogs playing on the lawn. Another 500 yards away from the path of the destruction, cows and little calves peacefully grazing on the side of a hill. That's the picture. And it's not a nice picture because nature, in its vengeance upon this particular section of the country, has not been nice. This is Ty Sterway speaking to you from the test board room at Jackson, Tennessee, returning you to our main studios at Radio Center.
Thank you, Tice Turway in Jackson. Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program for another special on-the-spot report from a WMPS mobile unit in the field covering the tornado disaster. This time we are to hear from mobile unit number 3, which is in Blytheville, Arkansas. This will be followed by a special weather report from the Memphis Weather Bureau. Now, for the special report from Unit 3, we take you to Blytheville, Arkansas.
Hello, this is Harold Krellstein, manager at WMPS. I am standing in the office of Chief of Police Graves here at Blytheville, Arkansas. I am with George Falder. We've been driving through the city of Blytheville to take a look at the damage caused by the tornado, which came through here last night along with the high winds. The tornado struck Blytheville approximately 8 o'clock last night. We saw some rather extensive damage in the southwestern part of the city. And, of course, Chief Graves and State Police Commissioner Dean of the state of Arkansas can tell us much more about it. George Falder here with me has a few words of comment, which I would like him to give too.
Approximately 8 o'clock last evening, the tornado struck Blytheville, Arkansas, coming into the south and western section of the city first. We have just finished a rather extensive tour of that portion of the city of Blytheville and saw many strange and bizarre sights. In a shopping center at West Cherry and 21st Street, it was very interesting to note that in a very jammed-up shopping center with the various individual buildings placed side by side, one building, Mays Supermarket, on the corner of West Cherry and 21st, was completely demolished. The building next to it, as a matter of fact, it has a common wall on each side. The building next to it was not even touched. The plate glass windows in the front of the building are still intact. The building was not even touched whatsoever, and the building then on the far side of it, once again, was completely demolished. The tornado hit at approximately West Cherry and 21st Street, went down Cherry, demolished completely the Church of God. Interesting to note that the house next door to the Church of God, which was completely demolished, was only lightly damaged. The tornado moved down Cherry Street and angled over to Vine Street, and then on towards downtown Blytheville, going down Ash Street. And it's interesting to note, too, that the path the tornado took as it traveled Ash Street was directly behind the main residences. In other words, the back buildings, garages, etc., in the rear of the homes on Ash Street were practically completely demolished the length of the street, but the residences themselves were not touched at all. The tornado then jumped down Main Street very sporadically, took off and went to Cooter, Missouri for its next stop. Incidentally, WMPS Mobile Unit 6 is in the Hayti, Missouri area and should be reporting in shortly to WMPS for a vivid first-hand account of the tornado damage at that time. Rather a bizarre situation as we drove down the main street of Blytheville, Arkansas, was to notice that at the Ritz Theater, the marquee showed that the feature now playing at the Ritz, ironically enough, is titled Cyclone Fury. And it was Cyclone Fury that hit Blytheville, Arkansas last evening. Incidentally, State Police Commissioner T.F. Doc Dean lives on Ash Street here in Blytheville, Arkansas. And State Commissioner Dean was in Bald Knob, Arkansas last evening when the tornado hit there. It was one of the hardest hit areas one of the hardest hit areas in the entire state of Arkansas. Commissioner Dean arrived in Bald Knob actually shortly after the tornado hit, but he's in the office of Chief of Police Graves of Blytheville with us, and I'm going to turn our broadcasting facilities over now to Commissioner Dean, who would like to give you a few remarks as to what he saw in the Bald Knob area. Commissioner Dean.
Thank you, kind sir. We were not there at the time that the storm struck the town of Bald Knob and Judd Sonia, but we were there shortly after in a state police car. And in all of my experience, I have never seen anything like it. It was terrible, that's all that I could say. And we were at cotton plant, and then we went from cotton plant to Bald Knob, where there was a terrible traffic jam at Bald Knob. Then we proceeded on over to Judd Sonia, and Judd Sonia is completely flattened. The banks, the post office, the church is destroyed, however, there's part of it standing. And the dead, the people were on the, just off of the highway, on the banks of the highway. They, well, I've just never seen anything as bad as it apparently was or appeared to be down there. I know that the announcer is standing here to take charge of the broadcast, so I'll turn it back over to him.
Thank you very kindly, Commissioner Dean. Incidentally, it also should be mentioned that both Commissioner Dean and Chief Graves have been without sleep for approximately 48 hours as the full facilities of this town of Blytheville and the neighboring communities in this section of the state of Arkansas have immediately gone back to work to rehabilitate their towns and their communities. It was interesting to note here in Blytheville that already progress towards rehabilitation is being made. People were out, neighbors helping their neighbors, repairing roofs and repairing damage done to residential areas. The spirit of cooperation that has been exemplified, I think, by this tragedy is certainly remarkable. We want to thank State Police Commissioner Dean and Chief Graves for allowing us to use their facilities here in Blytheville. We are going to continue our tour of this section of the state of Arkansas. We are WMPS Mobile Unit 3, reporting into the studios of WMPS. Mobile Unit 6 is in the Hayti, Missouri area and should be contacting the station for a direct on-the-scenes broadcast there shortly. We suggest that you stay tuned to WMPS throughout the afternoon and evening for a complete roundup of on-the-spot coverage of tornado damage throughout the tri-state area. George Valder speaking for Mobile Unit 3, WMPS, and returning you now to our studios in downtown Memphis, Tennessee at Radio Center.
Our WMPS Mobile Unit has been following in the wake of the tornadoes that have struck West Tennessee in the past 12 or 14 hours. At the present time, we're speaking to you from the Chester County High School in Henderson, Tennessee. First of all, we'd like to talk to Dr. Coy. Is that right, Doctor?
That's right.
And you're a practicing physician here in Henderson?
No, in Jackson, Tennessee.
In Jackson, Tennessee. And when were you called to the scene of the disaster?
We arrived here last night about 12:30, 1 o'clock.
And that was Friday night?
That's right.
And you've been on duty right straight through?
That's right.
How did you receive the call? Was it through...
Red Cross.
The Red Cross called you in?
That's
and
right.
How many patients have you treated here, Doctor?
I really don't know. I should judge something between 50 and 60, something of that sort.
50 or 60
yes,
patients?
They've been coming in very steadily until the last hour or so, and so I would have no way of knowing exactly.
You've been kept busy right straight through, is
that's
that right?
That's right, that's right.
What were most of the injuries that you treated?
Most of them have been lacerations of scalp and body. There have been some fractures, compound and simple, and some very serious cases that we referred on to Jackson to the hospitals that we couldn't take care of here.
In other words, you've set up just a field station
That's
here,
right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Well, thank you very, very much, Dr. Coy, for talking to us. And now we have here Lieutenant
Winslow
of the National Guard, right, Lieutenant?
That's right.
And when was your unit called into
our
the service?
Our unit was alerted about 3 o'clock this morning. 3 o'clock on Saturday morning.
That's right.
And what detachment is that?
It's a medical company, 117th Infantry.
And you're stationed where?
Jackson, Tennessee.
So you came to Henderson?
Yes, sir.
And how many men make up your component?
One officer and 10 men, sir.
One officer and 10 men, and your men have been doing duty as far as rescue
yes,
work
sir.
And everything is concerned?
Yes, sir, mostly first aid and assisting the doctors and so forth.
I see. In other words, as the casualties were brought in, your men were helping to take
yes,
care of them and...
And administering tetanus and other penicillin, other treatment that
I
we
see.
Could give.
And that unit again, please, Lieutenant?
Medical Company, 117th Infantry.
Thank you very, very much, Lieutenant. We're talking now to George W. Witt. Is that
yes.
right, George?
Yes, sir.
And you're a railroad man?
Yes, sir.
And you lived along the railroad, is that right?
Yes,
in a section
sir.
House?
In a section house, right on the railroad.
Well, George, you're all bandaged up, and I can see that
yes,
you've
sir.
Been hurt yourself. How about your family?
Well, my wife, she just kind of bruised. She ain't nothing to see her. Two of my kids, they kind of bruised up. Nothing to see her. I'm the only one that's... It's hurt.
It was hurt very badly.
Yes, sir.
And, George, what happened to your house when this tornado struck?
Well, the best I can remember, when it's my house popped, I reached and got my three kids and pulled them off on the floor, and I got over them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like lightning, and that was all I knew. And then when I got to where I could see, we was out in the yard.
Well, swept completely out of the house.
Yes, sir, out in the yard.
And the house was gone?
The house was gone, nothing.
Thank you very much, George, for talking.
Yes, sir.
From the front hall of the Chester County High School in Henderson, Tennessee, we're talking at this time to Mr. John Bolin. I believe that's right, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, John Bolin, yeah.
And Mr. Bolin, aren't you connected with the Red Cross?
Yeah, I'm a home service chairman.
In
Chester County.
Chester County. When were you first called to duty and service in this tornado that struck in West Tennessee?
Well, I got out on my own at about 15 minutes after 11 last night, and I've been on the go ever since.
Well, when did it hit here, about 11:15 last night?
11:05.
11:05.
Yeah, that's when all the clocks went off.
Friday night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the power was cut off?
Power, and we've had no power since.
And how about water supply?
Water supply, good. We got an emergency generator here.
I see. Is there anything that you need?
Well, I think we're going along and handled everything very smoothly. We've sent all the critical patients on into hospital in Jackson, and everything has been amply taken care of. And
that's your closest point of contact,
yeah,
isn't
uh-huh.
it, Jackson, Tennessee?
Yeah.
I understand that Mr. Williams, who's principal of the high school, opened
yeah.
up the high school for
yeah.
this emergency
yeah.
work. And how long have you been connected with the Red Cross?
Well, some 4 or 5 years now, since World War II.
And you've been a county chairman, isn't
yeah,
it?
Right? Yeah, I was county chairman 2 or 3 years, I forget just which.
Are you satisfied now with the work that's been done here?
Oh, yeah, hadn't been for the Red Cross getting in here today, I don't know what we'd have done.
Well, thank you
very much. And last night, the disaster man stopped by on his way to Dyersburg. He just happened through here. And
he was going down to the other section.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And that it hit a little earlier there, didn't it? Didn't
yeah,
it hit here?
Yeah, hit a little earlier there.
Do you know anything about fatalities here, about how many dead in Henderson?
No, there's nothing been officially released on that yet.
I see.
Uh-huh.
And I've talked with Dr. Coy, who tells me that he's treated some 50-odd patients.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Well, they've had a good many more than that here.
Is that right?
They had them stacked in like cordwood out here at the clinic.
Probably came so fast he didn't
yeah.
stop to count them, isn't that right?
Well, no, we didn't try to count them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bolin, for talking to us. And here's a young man right here. What is your name, please, sir?
R.V. King Ledbetter.
And, R.V., you live in Henderson, do
yes,
you?
Sir.
Now, how
say.
Close did the tornado hit to you?
Well, it was close as I could judge. It was about 500 feet.
And your house was right on the fringe of it, is that
no,
right?
No, it was about... 500 feet off. It was on the edge.
I see. And have you been up helping with the wounded and people?
Well, I've been up ever since it happened, but I haven't done too much help. I don't deserve any credit along that line. I've tried to help my as best as possible.
Well, do you you go to school here, do
yes,
you?
Sir. I'm in the 11th grade in this high school.
And you're that makes you a junior, doesn't
yes,
it?
Sir.
I see. Well, you're a big boy for a junior, believe me. When the tornado struck here, did you see it coming, or did you see it as it was leaving?
I didn't get up in time to see it as it was coming in. I saw it as it left, so I guess you'd call it the tail. It was It was pretty dark at that time, and I just saw the remains of it, I guess you'd say, as it was going across the field, and it sounded like about 100 freight trains all coming down straight together.
And as far as sound is concerned, but did you see anything? I mean, it looked. What did it look like?
Well, as best I can describe it, it was red in color, and it was in more or less of a funnel shape. It wasn't too clear because it was dark and it wasn't any power, and I couldn't tell exactly what definite shape it had. But it was you could picture something over in the distance, and it was in a funnel type. More or less funnel type shape.
This was after it had passed
after
over
it
and
passed.
It was leaving.
Yes, sir. It was leaving. It was kind of, it was crooking around. You could tell it was a moving.
Sort of twisting,
yes,
and
sir.
Turning around.
That's right.
I guess that's probably why those tornadoes do that. They move from place to place and just dip down in various
well,
sections.
Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but the day before it hit, that was Friday, it was mighty warm up during the day, creating an area of low pressure, and those things thrive on that. I imagine on the rest of these belts where it has hit created that same effect.
Probably had the same atmospheric
That's
conditions.
Right.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
And now here's Miss Janice Shepherd, right?
Right.
Of the American Red Cross. And they tell me, Janice, that you were on the scene here in Henderson at about 6:30 this morning.
That's right.
But you'd been somewhere else before where the tornadoes had hit earlier.
That's right. We had a report that it had hit at Ripley and Halls. No communications were available to us to verify that, so I took out from Jackson about 1 o'clock and made that trip on into Ripley and the Halls. We're very glad to find that there was some damage but no injuries. Then went into Dyersburg and saw that they were set up there and going. Everything was in order. Then came back to Jackson, then on into Henderson, and been here ever since.
Well, that's quite a long time, and I imagine that it's been a pretty full bill of goods as far as the Red Cross is concerned, right?
That's right.
Now, how have the communities responded in your appeals for aid?
Well, Red Cross is a volunteer organization, and it's just people helping people, and that's what the people in every community have done, is to help their neighbor.
Yes, neighbor helping neighbor.
Neighbor helping neighbor.
And the people here in the neighborhood have certainly responded, haven't they?
Just done beautifully.
Now, are you taking care of these people who have been hurt and whose homes are destroyed? Are you able to place them?
Yes, we will be able to place them. We have temporary shelter set up in case anyone doesn't have any place to go. Surveys are being made where we can place people. We think that everybody will be very well bedded down by night. We hope in a very comfortable bed.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Shepherd. It's been nice talking to
you. So nice to talk to you.
And good for the Red Cross for another good job done.
Thanks a lot.
You're listening to This Week Around the World over ABC. Your editor and reporter, John Daly.
Men and the elements. This week, spring arrived in the United States to find the western half of the nation still gripped in winter weather. The worst blizzard of the year hit the Central Rockies. Storms over Nevada and California marooned hundreds, threatened cattle and sheep herds with starvation. But the elements, in the form of a wild series of tornadoes, struck with most devastating fury in the South. For this report, we switch to correspondent Tice Terway at ABC affiliate station WMPS in Memphis, Tennessee.
Nature dealt the Mid-South a staggering blow late Friday night and early Saturday morning. Striking out of the west with a whirling vortex of tornadic winds, it descended on Arkansas, leveling communities and towns, leaving death and destruction in its wake, weaving its macabre path into Missouri, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Alabama, and leaving a tally of nearly 300 dead, better than 2,500 injured. Property damage is estimated to be more than $10 million. WMPS mobile units were in the field as early as 2 a.m. Saturday morning, following the wake of destruction. Nature, not being satisfied with one blow, hit as many as 2 and 3 times in the same spots. Dyersburg, Tennessee was struck a triple blow. Henderson, Tennessee struck twice in a period of less than 5 hours. Each time these tornadoes descended, death followed. Tornadoes are unpredictable and only pinpoint their finger of waste in small areas. Traveling down a highway, one sees homes and buildings completely leveled. A few hundred yards farther on, cattle grazing peacefully and puppy dogs playing on a well-kept lawn. Typical of the people that we talked to on our tour of the stricken areas was the comment of this man.
George, you're all bandaged up, and I can see that
yes.
You've been hurt yourself. How about your family?
Well, my wife, she just kind of bruised. She ain't nothing serious. Two of my kids, they kind of bruised up. Nothing serious. I'm the only one that's
hurt. Was hurt very badly.
Yes, sir.
And, George, what happened to your house when this tornado struck?
Well, the best I can remember, when my house popped, I reached and got my three kids and pulled them off on the floor, and I got over them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like light, and then that was all I knew. And then when I got to where I could see, we was out in the yard.
Well, swept completely out of the house.
Yes, sir, out in the yard.
And the house was gone?
And the house was gone.
Now, as the storm has passed, the Red Cross, National Guard, and the highway patrols of these Mid-South states are still searching for the missing, caring for the homeless. This is Ty Sturry reporting from Memphis.
After a night of almost indescribable horror throughout the tri-state area in Arkansas, Mississippi, and West Tennessee, the highway patrol of the state of Tennessee have rendezvoused more or less in West Tennessee in Bolivar. And with us we have some of the men who have done a heroic job throughout the night as the tornadoes hit in eight different places throughout the western section of the state of Tennessee. First of all, we'd like to talk to Chief Crawford. Chief, it's nice of you and your boys to be here with us. And I know that you've been up all night. When did you first have word of the tornado striking in your section?
Between 7 and 7:30 last night.
And where did they hit first?
They hit first up at Dyersburg and out Roellin and Concordia.
And if I'm not mistaken, you lost one of your men in that section,
Sergeant,
did you not?
Sergeant Joe Williams.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? How did it happen? Was it due to the tornado?
Yes, it was. He was on 104 leading out of Dyersburg, east out of Dyersburg, and the car right behind him, which was manned by Patrolman Hill and Johnson, saw this thing happen. This car started doing a turn off the highway, north off the highway, and just kept turning, and it's about 150 feet over in the field when it stopped turning. When this boy, Joe Johnson, hollered to Hill, said, "Ride with the wind," and they turned the car and rode with the wind, and that car rolled over in the ditch and stopped. And about 30 minutes later, they found Sergeant Williams about 30 or 40 feet from his car. His car completely demolished.
Where the wind had really torn him right out of the car.
Yes, and about 30 feet from there, there was two other brand new cars that was twisted off. Looked like you're taking a can opener and just twisted them off.
Can you tell me anything about casualties in the Dyersburg area?
Well, when I left there last night, there was eight, and there were still fine bodies over in the fields and in the water.
And, of course, you had your contingent of men over there helping with the rescue work.
Yes,
right?
We was trying to clear the highways for the ambulances and emergency crews, such as the power company and such.
Well, now let's come up the line a little bit and from Dyersburg on up to Memphis and then on up towards Moscow. Who's stationed around Moscow?
Sergeant Bill Winfrey and Noy Allen Robinson.
Either one of them here?
Yes, sir. Sergeant Williams and Robinson, both.
You're stationed there, is that right?
I'm stationed at Bolivar.
But you patrol the area around Moscow, too?
Moscow, that's right.
And do you know anything about when it hit there?
About 11 o'clock.
And how about casualties there?
I think there were 7 casualties. Numerous persons injured.
Yeah, we had the report there. I think there were 5 colored people and 2 white people killed in that particular area. It didn't hit down to the main section of the town, though.
That's right.
On the outskirts?
That's right.
Through the bottom land?
That's right.
And Patrolman Robinson was with you there this morning or
that's
late
right.
last night?
That's right.
And
also Corporal Colwick and Patrolman Johnny O'Neill.
Well, thank you very much, Sergeant. Now let's move on up toward Bolivar. We saw some of the damage that was done just on the outskirts of this town where the trees were stripped of their bark, where houses were completely demolished. We saw over in fields refrigerators and washing machines and, of course, chickens. As Captain Crawford told us a moment ago, we just saw them on the ground but completely stripped of their feathers. And Captain Crawford said a moment ago that he even saw them up in trees. How about some of you boys that were stationed around here?
Noah Robinson.
Noy, do you mind coming over just a minute and let's talk to you? When did you get your call here?
I got a call around 10 o'clock to a wreck out just north of Bolivar, Tennessee.
I haven't been treating you right, have I? I've been saying patrolman is corporal. Is that right? I'm sorry about that. And you got it when?
Around 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock last night?
Yes, sir.
And did you go right down to the scene here just outside of town?
Yes, sir.
And what did you find there?
Well, I went through this wreck found some trees in the highway. One car was traveling south and saw the tree fall in front of him. And he cut to miss this tree and hit a car at a Nashville head on.
And anybody injured in that accident?
Not too serious.
Probably weren't driving too fast because of the heavy wind.
That's right. They were driving slow, I'm sure.
Have you been on the old Somerville Road down there where those houses where the Walton family lived, where they were completely demolished?
Yes, sir.
And you probably saw the same thing I did, where there's nothing left of the houses at all, and where four people were killed there.
That's right.
And several critically injured. I understand they've taken three to a hospital in Jackson and four to Memphis. It was the Walton family, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Thanks an awful lot, Corporal, for talking to us. Now let's move on up the line to Henderson, where the storm hit very, very hard. The tornado hit very hard. Chief, who was up there at Henderson, Tennessee?
Well, Sergeant Sigmund was up there, and also Corporal Smith and Patrolman Reeves and Patrolman Poston, Patrolman Dunn, Corporal Davidson and Patrolman Moody, along with numerous other patrolmen who we had called out on emergency.
Did you have to call in for help from the Middle Tennessee section?
Yes, I did. We got help from Lawrenceburg. We got help from Nashville. We got help from Huntington, also as far as Cookeville. We're getting help today from Knoxville and Chattanooga.
You mean the boys are coming down from East Tennessee and helping to relieve your men, is that
That's
right?
That's correct.
Well, how about, let me talk to some of these fellas right here. Your name, please, sir.
Sigmund.
And you were up there around the Henderson section, is that right?
Yes, sir, later on this morning, or rather early this morning.
You were in Dyersburg first,
yes,
is that right?
That's right.
Early last night.
Yes, sir.
And then you went from Dyersburg on up to Henderson. How was the situation up there as you saw it?
Well, it was pretty bad.
Do you know how many were killed?
Approximately about 12 or 14 people.
12 or 14, and how about injured people? Were the hospitals able to take care of them up there?
Yes, sir, they were. In one place there were eight, and they were also taking them into the high school there.
Were they using the high school as a morgue or as a hospital?
As a hospital.
As a hospital.
Yes, sir.
And did you travel that section very often, or were you called in from Dyersburg?
No, sir, I'm from Memphis.
You're from Memphis?
Yes, sir.
So you came out of the Memphis office on up here. Let me ask you one other thing. What about the condition of the houses and the trees and everything around the section that was hit by the tornado at Henderson?
They were pretty well demolished in houses, different sections.
Houses blown completely down?
Yes, sir.
Did it hit the main section of Henderson?
No, it's on the outskirts.
Just on the outskirts. Was it bottom land?
Well, not all of it. It was some of it. It was in town, and it hit in different places.
I see.
But the majority of it wasn't in town.
Sort of skipped here and there.
Yes, sir.
That's the funny thing about tornadoes. They fool you. You never know just where they're going to go. Sure do thank you for talking to us. Let's catch the rest of these boys real fast. Your name, please, sir?
W. Smith.
You're Corporal Smith. And
yes.
Where are you stationed, Corporal?
Memphis.
And you came up last night to go to Henderson, is that right?
First to Moscow about midnight and on to Henderson.
I see. And how did you find the situation up there?
It was very rugged in Henderson. Worked the Tupelo storm. It's the next thing to it.
That was some time back, wasn't it? In
36.
36.
Yes.
And Tupelo had that tornado there and quite a few deaths in that one.
Yes, sir.
What about, were there very many injured in around Henderson?
The best information we could get is 12 to 15 fatalities. Approximately 40 injured.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, thanks an awful lot, Corporal. Now this gentleman right here, you're patrolman who?
Poston.
Poston.
Patrolman Poston.
And where is your headquarters?
Memphis.
You're from Memphis?
Yes, sir.
And when did you get the call to go out on duty last night?
I was with Corporal Smith all the time.
I see. And you went out the same time he did?
Yes.
Did you go to Dyersburg first, or did you
no,
go right
sir,
to...
No, we went to Moscow first and then to Henderson.
And then to Henderson. Yes. Did you find things in pretty bad shape there?
Yes, sir. He's pretty well demolished.
Well, thanks a lot for talking to us. And here's Patrolman
Bill Reeves.
Bill, where is your station?
Memphis.
In Memphis. And you came up last night, too?
That's
the same
correct.
Route, I mean, through Moscow and then on up to Henderson?
That's correct.
About how long a time was there between, do you know by any chance? I mean, I'm not sure, and I haven't been able to find out, between the time that the tornado hit in Moscow and then it hit in Henderson.
I'm not sure on that.
You don't have any idea? Maybe we can find out from the chief here in a minute. We'll check with him. Let's get around and talk to the other boys for just a minute. And your name, please, sir?
W.B. Davidson.
And when were you called out?
I went out with Sergeant Sigmund to Dyersburg about 7:30.
Last night?
That's correct.
And then you came on up through this section, through Bolivar and to Henderson?
That's right.
And what's the matter? Have you hurt yourself?
Rubbed a blister on my heel.
Is that right? Well, it wasn't very nice working, was it, that way?
Not too nice, no. In Dyersburg especially.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us. And you're patrolman who?
James Moody.
And where's your home station?
Memphis.
In Memphis. Yes. And when did you get the first call to go out?
Got the first call about 10 o'clock last night to go to Dyersburg.
And then you came from Dyersburg on over?
Came from Dyersburg to Henderson.
To Henderson.
Yes, sir.
Thanks a lot for talking to us. Chief, can you tell me by any chance about how long... what's the sergeant trying to tell us there? Go right ahead.
About the legs that were blown off these colored people over in Moscow. Just blew them all to pieces.
In other words, they were impaled on trees and so forth, were they?
That's correct. Over in sloughs.
Completely torn apart.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, maybe not officially, but I mean, do you have any idea of the difference in time between the time it hit Moscow and Henderson?
By approximately an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Uh-huh. It wasn't the same tornado then, I don't think. Do you? I mean, according to the Weather Bureau and the best of our knowledge at the present time, there were about 8 different tornadoes that struck through this section.
That's right. 3 of them had in succession at Dyersburg.
They hit 3 times at Dyersburg. And how far apart were they? Do you know?
I'd say there's about 45 minutes an hour apart.
Is that right? Well, we certainly do thank you, Chief Crawford, and to all your men who've done a very, very fine job throughout the night. What are your plans now? This is early Saturday morning. What are you going to do? Are you going to spread your men out and keep on the job?
Yes, we're planning now to converge in Dyersburg and going to set up a headquarters in Dyersburg there for this weekend, take care of this traffic, because it's going to be quite a bit of traffic. But we'd appreciate people not coming up sightseeing, because it's going to be too much traffic on those highways, and know it's going to cause some accidents on that two-lane highway, which is 51 North.
It's a dangerous highway at best, of course, sightseers should stay at home. We don't want any sightseers.
That's right. Not till we get this cleaned up. We'd prefer them to let us clean it up first.
Thank you very much, Chief, and I hope sincerely that our listeners over WMPS will abide by the wish of the Highway Patrol and stay off the highways. Don't go sightseeing. It's tragic enough for the people who are involved in these tornadoes who hit West Tennessee and Arkansas and Mississippi. Please take the advice of the Highway Patrol. Stay off the highways this weekend if you possibly can. And if you have to travel, give them all the cooperation that you can. Now, this is Tice Turaway, who's been rendezvousing here in Bolivar with the Highway Patrol from West Tennessee, returning you to our studios.